As we continue to converse about the mother continent today, we are in the very heart of the city of Nairobi on Liberty Building. And we behold panoramically the city of Nairobi. And in an interesting fashion from Liberty House, we talk about the liberty of the continent of Africa. The history of contemporary Africa can never be told without reference to the infamous conference in Berlin, which took place toward the end of the year 1884 and the early part of the year 1885. That conference, known as the Berlin Conference, sometimes as King Leopold's Conference, was convened by European powers as a way of dividing Africa arbitrarily into spheres of influence. The then European powers were all present. The Germans were there, the British were there, the French were there, the Belgians were there, the Italians were there, the Portuguese were there, and the Spaniards were there. And all they did was to look at the entire continent and dealt with it as if it were a plantation, drawing boundaries arbitrarily, and Africa has never recovered. At that time, the entire idea of the partition of Africa was to divide it into economic spheres of influence so that they could exploit the resources of Africa at a time when Europe was graduating, as it were, from an agrarian environment to industrial revolution. Soils of Africa were used for plantations, for coffee, for tea, for rubber, and other things. And subsequently, of course, they went into the mining of different ores, whether it was iron ore, whether it was manganese. All of this was done at a time when African countries and African nations had been decimated and debilitated by the destruction of their empires across the entire continent. Whether it was in the West, they had destroyed all the kingdoms, the Malinke, the Songhai, and all these had been destroyed. On the southern part of Africa, the Zulu Empire, the Monomotapa Empire had been destroyed. In East Africa, the Baganda, the Banyoro Kitara had been destroyed, and all African institutions had been destroyed. When, therefore, they transited from the economic domination, then the political domination came in, and that was the advent of colonization. And when, of course, they colonized Africa, they imposed institutions. They brought in their laws, they brought in their institution, the judiciary, the governors, and Africa has never been the same again. And when the Europeans fought their wars in Europe, which are normally described as the World Wars, in the First World War, the Germans lost their territories in different parts, and all these were then migrated to some of the powers. The territories of the German, which were in Southwest Africa, now Namibia, in Dahomey, in the Cameroons, were then transferred to other powers which had remained after their decimation in World War I. What then was the impact of this very unfortunate incident or event that took place in Berlin in 1884? The impact was as painful and as debilitating as it can be. And Africa has never recovered. Africa has never recovered because peoples of different nations were then divided into different and separate spheres. So that if you went to Ghana, you find the Moba people now divided to be found in present-day Ghana, present-day Togo, and present-day Burkina Faso. You go to Nigeria, you find the Yoruba peoples in Cameroon, you find them in Togo. You come to Kenya or to Tanzania, the Maasai of Kenya are to be found as the Maasai of Tanzania. The Luos of Kenya are to be found in Uganda, to be found in Tanzania. to be found in the Democratic Republic of Congo, to be found in Sudan. You go to Ethiopia, you find different communities across different countries, and this is as unfortunate as it can be. And it has been debilitating, because when the struggle for independence started in earnest, and African countries were seeking to regain their independence from erstwhile colonizers, we as a continent had been divided into spheres of influence, with the former French colonies being infamously described as the Francophone countries, the Portuguese being described as the Lusophone countries, and the British colonies being described as the Anglophone countries. Of course, the Democratic Republic of Congo remained as a sphere of influence of the Belgians. Initially, the Democratic Republic of Congo was the individual property of King Leopold of the Belgians, only migrated to Belgium as a country a little later in time. The struggle for independence therefore started in earnest. And after the World War II, and after the rise of the Pan-African movement, and the rise and agitation of African independent fighters, we then had the wave of independence, with Ghana taking the lead on the 6th day of March 1957, and thereafter a wave of independence which culminated in the Addis Ababa Conference. We saw the birth of the Organization of African Unity. And I can remember so very vividly, courtesy of history, when on that day, every African leader who spoke, whether it was Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, which had never been successfully conquered and who hosted that conference, whether it was Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana, whether it was David Dacko, or whether it was Nnamdi Azikiwe, all of them were unanimous in their recognition that the pain that had been visited upon Africa in Berlin had to be cured. The discussion then arose, should we revisit the colonial boundaries? And I can still hear that famous voice of Kwame Nkrumah saying, let us not revisit those boundaries, let us seek unity. Because if we begin to revisit those boundaries, there would be conflict amongst all African countries. Ours is to make those boundaries as bridges. And that was his famous clarion call, that Africa must unite, because it is in her unity that Africa would neutralize and make nonsense of those boundaries. Unfortunately, on that occasion in 1963, it did not happen, and the sovereign countries remained as they were inherited from the colonizers, with the ever surreptitious hand of the colonizer remaining strong, sometimes blatant, sometimes subtle, but controlling African countries. The conversation was revisited again in 1964 in Cairo, when the African leaders were hosted by Egypt's Gamal Abdel Nasser. But once again, we adopted as Africans the doctrine of the inviolability of inherited boundaries, on the understanding that the continent would unite. But that did not happen. In 1965, Kwame Nkrumah hosted a conference in Accra, Ghana, on the assumption on that day that Africa would emerge united. But it did not happen. And 1 year later, in 1966, the Osagie for Kwame Nkrumah himself was overthrown, and we now know that his removal from power was through the machinations of Western powers. These boundaries, these activities of the colonizers in Berlin remain a source of conflict in Africa today. African countries are divided. Wars have been fought because of those boundaries. Wars continue to be fought because of those boundaries. Countries are divided because of those boundaries. African countries cannot speak with one voice because of the events of Berlin in 1884 and 1885. There are those who are in the business of telling Africans that you agonize too much, that you have now been independent for upwards of 60 years. Why don't you take charge of your affairs? We as a continent are taking charge of our affairs. But the question is, has Africa ever been allowed to take charge of our affairs? No, she has not. She has not, because after Berlin, there was colonization. After decolonization, there was and there is still neo-colonization. And neo-colonization means that the erstwhile colonizers still are answering to the clarion call of Berlin, so that Portugal still wants to control her colonies in Angola, in Mozambique, in Guinea-Bissau, in Sao Tome and Principe, in Cabo Verde. The French still want to control her colonies in West Africa. The British still want to control her former colonies through the Commonwealth. And of course, the Belgians are still alive and well in Belgium. We are not free. And when they cannot control Africans and African leaders, then they, of course, undermine those who stand up against them. Berlin is not a scar. Berlin is a wound. It is a wound that continues to torment the continent of Africa, because it is a wound that keeps us divided. Keeps us divided through our laws, keeps us divided through our education system, keeps us divided through politics, keeps us divided through neo-colonial institutions, keeps us divided because of the boundaries, keeps us divided because we are manipulated on the basis of the past. Berlin was a curse. Adekeye Adebayo. That famous Nigerian has written a book which all of us must read, The Curse of Berlin. And indeed, it was a curse which remains with us. It is a curse. It is a ghost that must be exorcised. Because if the ghost of Berlin is not exorcised, Africa will never be united. And if Africa is never united, she'll remain a plantation. The plantation that was conceived in Berlin in 1884 and 1885. The time is now to dissolve Berlin. The time is now is to make those boundaries, bridges. African unity is what will dissolve Berlin. Continue to talk about the mother continent, but we will come again to continue this conversation which never ends and which must never end. See you another time.